subdue their enemies, and turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should submit themselves unto him, but their time should endure forever. He would feed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with the honey out of the rock would I satisfy them. So if we would hearken unto him, he would soon subdue our enemy. You know who our biggest enemy is? Most people say Satan. But you know, it's probably the flesh, because if it, Satan really has only one way to get a handle on you. You know, Jesus said, the evil one cometh, but he hath nothing in me. He hath nothing in me. You know, the flesh is a son of the devil. And he tempts you, and he persecutes you through that flesh. And he has advantage over you because of that flesh. So if you get rid of that flesh, guess what? You got total authority over him. You're walking and pleasing the Lord, and the person that pleases the Lord makes his enemies to be at peace with him. So basically, you want God to do away with your enemy, which is the old man, the flesh, and submit to the Lord. And walk by faith. Let me share with you this revelation I got a few years ago. It happened in an evening. I was planning to share something about speaking the next day. You know, speaking faith. I was going to share on what the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I got this revelation. I was walking down this trail in the woods, and it was kind of a wiggly trail. And I had this man with me that was an enemy. I knew I was in a warfare, and this man that was with me was one of the enemy that I had captured. And I had him in a neck lock, and I was dragging him down this trail in a neck lock, you know. And you know, it's kind of hard to do that, but I was doing it. And I came around this corner, and I saw a campfire, and I saw what I knew, you know how you know things in dreams or visions. I knew that this man standing by this campfire was a giant. And when I saw this giant, the only thing was, this giant was my size. See? But you know what? You know, when they went into the promised land, they didn't think they could take that land because the giant seemed too big to them. And we've got people bringing a bad report today that we're not able to take this land that we live in, because there is what we consider a giant in there. That's the old man. We think that he can't be overcome. We think he's bigger than we are. You know, but that's not true. That's a lie. That's the bad report. Exactly what the bad report is. So anyway, when I saw this giant, I turned this man loose just for a moment. The guy I had in a neck lock. And as soon as his neck was free, he spoke to that giant. And he said, bigger, bigger, bigger. And when I heard what he said, I turned and I karate chopped him right in the Adam's apple. And I said, no, smaller, smaller, smaller. And I got the revelation. I knew at the moment he spoke that if he was permitted to speak, he would make that giant bigger, bigger, bigger. And that I was to speak just the opposite. That giant couldn't be bigger, bigger, bigger. He had to be smaller, smaller, smaller. And that I had the authority to say that. And I got the revelation that that old man that I had captured and was taken captivity was my flesh. Was my old man. Was the old life. You know, if you let that old life speak, you let that old man speak, you'll make the giants bigger. You will make the problem worse, worse, worse. And pretty soon, you won't have any faith that you can overcome it. But we do have authority. Because of all the promises of God, we have the authority to speak smaller, smaller, smaller. If you agree with the Word of God, God will whittle your enemies down to size. What did Joshua and Caleb say? They're just bread for us. Their protection is removed from over them. Now, that's the old man who lived in the promised land, not the new man that was taking it over. The Israelite was the spiritual man that was taking it over. The spiritual man is supposed to be saying smaller, smaller, smaller. And it doesn't matter what the obstacle is in front of you. You've got a promise concerning it in the Bible. If you will speak that promise instead of speak the curse, it will be smaller, smaller, smaller. And if you speak the curse, it will get bigger, bigger, bigger. You have the authority. God gave you the authority to bind and to loose, to permit or to forbid. And faith without works is dead. If you're believing something, then speak it. You got any problems? Just apply the Word of God and speak smaller, smaller, smaller. You know, speak it down to size. Because truly, we believe with the heart, but we confess with the mouth unto salvation. Notice it doesn't say unto salvation when you believe with your heart, because there are a lot of people that believe things in their heart, but they're afraid to act on it. And faith without works is incomplete. It's fruitless, actually, is what the Bible says. That's what the literal word is, fruitless. It won't bear fruit. So you've got to be bold enough to speak and act on what you believe that the Word of God says that you have. You know, when the Israelites went into the Promised Land, they went in there with Joshua to take the Promised Land. The first thing they ran into was the armies of the five kings in Joshua. And they captured those five kings. And the Lord, when I was reading that one day, the Lord spoke to me that the five kings were the five senses. You know what the carnal Christian is ruled by? His senses. Not ruled by faith in the Word of God. He walks by sight. He walks by feelings, you see. And if you do that, you're always going to speak with the curse. You're always going to speak the curse. You know, we're not supposed to call the things that are as though they are. We're supposed to call things that be not as though they were. Right? But when they went into the Promised Land, the first thing they did was to capture those five kings. And,
where?
In Joshua chapter 10, in verse 16. You're going to get a revelation here about how to capture your promised land, which is this life that you live, this body that you're ruling over. Hebrews chapter 6 says that we are that land. Let me read that first. Hebrews chapter 6. And Malachi says the same thing. Let me read Hebrews chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 4. For as touching those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then fell away, it's impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Well, how can you crucify Jesus again? It's very simple. You know who the spiritual man is in you? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when you obey your flesh, you know what you're doing? You're crucifying Christ in you, afresh. You're putting him to an open shame. Verse 7. For the land which hath drunk the rain. Why is he talking about the land then? Because we are that land. For the land which has drunk the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them whose sake it is also tilled, receiveth blessing from God. But if it beareth thorns and thistles, it is rejected. That's the word adokimos. It means reprobated. You don't reprobate land, folks. You reprobate people. It is rejected and nigh unto a curse whose end is to be burned.
And frankly, this land that we live in, there's two men in this land. The Bible talks about those two men. The spiritual man and the carnal man. The inner man and the outer man. Named in different ways, okay? But we know that the spiritual man was meant to conquer this land, which is, you know, where did Adam's flesh come from? The earth. His flesh was the land, you see. But in that flesh, there's the spiritual man and the carnal man. The spiritual man being the Israelite, and the carnal man being the Canaanite. So when they went in to the land of Canaan, they had all these Canaanites resisting them. In other words, we're supposed to rule this land for God. The old man's not supposed to rule this land. The Bible says if you walk after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Well, in Joshua chapter 10 and verse 16, it's just exactly like what I was saying about speaking to the giant. Bigger, 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 or smaller, 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 you know. Verse 16 says, these five kings fled and hid themselves in the cave at Makeda. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hidden in the cave at Makeda. Makeda means a fold, like in the sense of a herd, you know. And Joshua said, roll great stones unto the mouth of the cave and set men by it to keep them. Now think about it. You know who rules the promised land? The five kings. And that is your senses. Hebrews 6 tells us that we're not supposed to walk after our senses. You know? I think I should have read that while we were there. Hebrews chapter 6 again. Actually, it's in the end of chapter 5. I'm going to read that part to you. Yeah, Hebrews 5 and verse 12. When by reason of the time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as need of milk and not of solid food. In other words, they're bathed, right? For everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. You see, what is he saying? We got to give up our carnal senses and we have to have spiritual senses. We have to see things the way God tells us to see things. You understand, the Bible constantly tells us how to see. For instance, in Peter, we're told, seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now, is he talking about seeing it in the flesh? No, because you don't see that in the flesh. Now, 2 Peter 1 and 3, seeing that his divine power hath granted us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us by his glory and virtue, whereby he has granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that's in the world by lust. That's an example of what we're supposed to see. If you're walking as a spiritual man, if you're walking in the Spirit, here's how you see things. You see that the Lord's divine power has already given to you everything you need to live the Christian life. You know, I've heard preachers say, when you got saved, you got all you're going to get. Well, I know what they mean when they say that. They mean just the opposite of what the Bible is saying. It is true that when you get saved, you do get everything. But you don't know that yet. It says, through the knowledge, seeing that his divine power hath granted us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his glory and virtue. See? But what they're saying is, no, you don't need anything else. You got all you need. Just go with that. Well, they don't know what they're talking about. I mean, God has provided us with everything that pertains unto life and godliness. You do receive it by faith, but you got to believe that it's yours. And you got to believe not with your carnal eyes, but with your spiritual eyes. So Peter's talking about seeing in the Spirit here. He wants us to see in the Spirit and not in the flesh. In other words, you're having your senses exercised to discern good from evil. You know what? If you disagree with God's Word, it doesn't matter if you're talking about things that you see with your eyes. That's evil. Because you're not to call the things that are as though they are. You're supposed to call the things that are not as though they are. That's what the spiritual man does. But we've got to learn to see the way God tells us to see things. In verse in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16 it says, "Wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, our inward man is renewed day by day." Now how does this happen? That the outward man is decaying while the inner man is growing up. "For our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You know what? Get your eyes on the promises, because they're eternal. And the things you're looking at around you, the curse and the corruption, that's temporary. That's what he means, temporal. So, we have to have our senses exercised to discern good from evil. Let me give you a little hint. Remember when David went to kill his giant? What did he do? He went to a little brook between him and the giant. He picked up 5 smooth stones. And he took one of those stones and he killed that giant. One of those stones. They represent your senses have been exercised by the Word of God to know good and evil. You know how stones in the water, how the water just, when it pours over them, it just smooths them out, you know? And think about what David said. I mean, this guy was bold. He spoke for the Lord. He didn't speak for the flesh. Everybody else who spoke for the flesh, they were trembling in their tents. But here's a guy who didn't even need his armor, you know? He didn't need the defense of the flesh, you know? But he went out there and he told Goliath what he was going to do to him. "I'm going to take your head off of you and I'm going to feed you to the birds." He spoke it boldly out of his mouth. That's one of those 5 smooth stones there. So he just spoke it. Now, at the cave of Makeda, you know what they did? They captured these 5 kings that ruled over that land. They put them inside that cave and they covered the mouth of that cave with rocks, stones. You know what the stones represent? The Word of God. The Word of God. And what does the mouth of the cave represent? Let's just say you're the land. Can you imagine what the mouth of your cave would be if you were the land? That's right, your mouth. And let's just suppose you didn't let your senses speak out of your mouth because the Word of God would not permit it. And you got a picture here of what happened. They rolled these stones up in front of that cave. The stones represented the Word of God. And so these men couldn't come out of the mouth of that cave. They were trapped. Couldn't come out. Well, that wasn't the end of the story. When they left those men in that cave, they went away and conquered their armies. You know what? Here's the point. If you don't let those senses talk out of your mouth, you can conquer the enemy armies. Because they had their leadership. They had their guidance. And they weren't permitted to come out of the cave. Just like if you don't let your senses speak out of your mouth. You know, we talk about walking in the Spirit. Nobody knows what walking in the Spirit is. They think it's listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and doing what He says. Well, that's right, but the Holy Spirit wrote this book. And if we let the word of God come out of our mouth instead of what we see, feel, and hear, then we're having spiritual senses and not carnal senses. We're not to permit the old man to speak concerning any situation. If you pray about something, then Jesus said, believe you have received. Now what's going to come out of your mouth if you prayed about some curse? Should be faith. Should be agreement with what you prayed. If not, you're going to destroy your prayers. They will not come to pass. Because you're a double-minded man, unstable in all your ways. Think not that that man shall receive anything from the Lord. You know what double-minded means? The word literally in James chapter 1 means two-souled. Two-souled. See, you want that old soul to die? I certainly do. Don't feed it. Don't let it live. Don't let it speak out of it. Don't give it its way. Starve it to death. You know? Basically, the spiritual fast in Isaiah 56 is talking about that. Yeah. You know what happens when you don't feed your flesh? It dies. That's a spiritual fast, right? You don't feed it, it dies. If you don't let it speak, it dies. You know what? When they came back to that cave, the rest of the story is right here. They came back to that cave, they pulled those five kings out of that cave. And they, let's see, verse 24, came to pass when they brought forth those kings unto Joshua. Joshua is the name for Jesus, by the way, in the Old Testament. Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the chiefs of the men of war that went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. Why do you suppose he means that? Because it's awful hard to talk. You've got a foot on your neck, right? You're still not permitting these kings to talk. This is how you conquer the promised land here. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. Awesome. You know, one of the biggest enemies we're talking about still is the flesh. Remember the 10 spies that came out of the promised land? What they spoke was what they saw, what they felt, what they heard. And Joshua and Caleb were the only two that spoke the good report, which was what? What God said. And they said, look, these giants are bread for us. The Lord has taken away their protection. They're ours. They agreed with the word. They entered the promised land. The rest of them died. Which means they got to partake of the promises. The rest of them died. So they put their foot on their necks and wouldn't let them speak. And then verse 26, and afterward Joshua smote them and put them to death and hanged them on five trees. This is Joshua now. This is Jesus. You know what Jesus did at the cross? Which, by the way, in the Bible is called a tree. You know what he did at the cross? He put to death your old man. We were crucified with Christ. The old man. The one that speaks contrary to God. The one that's at enmity with God, the Bible says. And they hanged him on those five trees. So Jesus put to death this flesh. You say, how am I going to do it? Well, by faith in him. Since you don't have carnal senses anymore because your old man passed away and was crucified with Christ. And the only one that lives is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then you have, by faith, those spiritual senses.
Is there a sentence or something that says by faith that death you leave your Christ? Is that the way it is?
If you by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. That's Romans 8. If you by the Spirit. So, wow, isn't that a good picture? You know what? We need to get busy learning how to speak. You got to learn how to see.
and you got to learn how to hear. You know, Jesus said, Jesus wasn't speaking to everybody when he shared those revelations in the Gospels. He was only speaking to who? To him that hath ears to hear and eyes to see. The only people that any of this word will do any good for. Doesn't matter if you go to church, don't matter if you call yourself a Christian. You got to have eyes to see and ears to hear. And he's talking about spiritual eyes and ears. The rest of them didn't understand. Now Jesus took his disciples aside. When he spoke to them in parables, he took the disciples aside and privately expounded to them all things the Bible said. He gave them eyes and ears. And the self-righteous religious folks didn't get it. Didn't get that. They don't get it today. They don't get it today. There's no difference in the Pharisees today and the Pharisees back then. They don't get it today. So, we ought to be like David. I'm convinced that what came out of David's mouth is what killed Goliath. But we all got a Goliath to kill. You know that? Every one of us. That old man, that old flesh. The one that restrains us from entering in the promised land. Yeah, Terry?
I have a couple of questions. One that ties into this, and it's about fasting.
Uh-huh.
About what the Bible has to say about fasting. Because mm-hmm. when you do that, you're going to put to death the flesh, too.
Yeah.
And because Michael was asking about it, because there's not a lot of teaching out there about fasting. You don't hear it much in the churches. He said a lot of Christians he talks to, they don't ever fast, or they, you know,
right.
rarely.
Right.
And Nick was wondering how you keep the old man from coming back.
Well, the confession that keeps him down will, you know, puts him down will keep him down. I remember a friend of mine one time was praying to God for help. I mean, he was just begging God to help him with his flesh. And he had a dream one night that Jesus showed up like Superman. And he grabbed his old man, threw him on the ground, and put his foot on him. And he put this guy's foot on him. He said, now don't let him up. That's what Jesus told him. Don't let him up.
Yeah.
You know what? Don't let him up. I mean, it's a lot easier to keep him down than it is to put him down, right? Don't let him up. Put your foot on his neck and don't let him up.
I was telling Kurt, I've noticed a couple of times last week in school, I would say something that I noticed was of my old self, and I would have to repent right away, and you know, and then ask the Lord, don't, you know, just give me the strength to keep this from happening and be mindful of it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, where did that come from? You know, it just came out. I wasn't thinking. You just got to be aware that it's there.
Yes. Yes. What did he say back in Joshua chapter 1 when he was giving them advice about taking the promised land? Let's start in verse 5. Verse 8 is the verse I really want you to see, but let's start in verse 5. It says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And what he's saying is, the Canaanites are not going to be able to stand before them. Again, this is a picture of God telling you that your flesh cannot stand before you. It has no power to resist you. And what makes that true is your faith in the Word of God. It is dead. Dead men can't resist. If you slap a dead man, he'll just turn the other cheek on him. And that dead man can't resist you. You have authority over him. Verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt cause this people to inherit the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Notice, it wasn't Moses that caused them to inherit the land. It was Joshua, Jesus. Right? Because the law could make nothing perfect, the Bible says. God sought a new covenant, and the leader of that new covenant was Joshua, Jesus. Right? Only be strong. So in other words, it's not legalism. It's not picking yourself up by your bootstraps. It's not determination.
It's not a New Year's resolution. It's faith in the Lord. Only be strong and very courageous to observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest have good success whithersoever thou goest. So if you turn aside, you're making it a lot longer route, aren't you? Turn to this side, turn to that side, all the little side trips that we take. Like we start out Psalm 81, right? Submit to the Lord. He can do a quick work on your enemy. He will soon subdue your enemies. Right? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That's the verse that I feel is so important. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Notice, you can observe to do according to what's written therein. You don't let it depart out of your mouth, and you think on it. He will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Isaiah 26, right? So if you think on the word and you speak the word, he says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. That's the same thing he said to Moses. Moses kept arguing with the Lord. Lord, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I don't talk good, and so on and so forth. Didn't I tell you to go? If the Lord tells you to do something, you can do it. You don't waste time telling us to do something we can't do. You don't waste time giving us promises that aren't effectual. Right? Be strong and of good courage. Be not affrighted, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. You know, in verse 3 he said, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, to you have I given it, as I spake unto Moses. You know, they really didn't put foot on the majority of the land that God gave them. And they haven't claimed that land yet. They didn't stand on it, and they didn't get it. You know what? Some Christians are going to stand on the land that God's given them. In other words, it's going to be under their feet, and they are going to get it. And I'm telling you something else about the promised land. This is something the Lord told me, that there's more than one promised land. I mean, there's the kingdom of heaven. There's this land that we walk in right here. And there's this Word of God right here in front of us. The Word of God is our promised land. It's the land of promise. And every one of these promises that you stand on, God's going to give it to you, just like He's saying right here. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, to you have I given it, as I spake unto Moses.
Okay, that's past tense too.
That's right.
It just came to me. I've given it.
I have given it. He always says that, doesn't he? And that's the gospel. You know, the gospel is past tense. Always. God's already healed you. He's already delivered you. He's already provided for you. It's already done. The only thing is, don't let this word depart out of your mouth and stand on the word. Right? And then you're going to take that promised land. You know why so many people can't take the promised land? They've got so much garbage religion in them. You know, they've heard that it can't be done. But Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. It can't be done for somebody that believes it can't be done. And when you're listening to Antichrist in the pulpit, it can't be done. When you believe what they say, these people who bring the bad report, look, 10 out of 12 preachers that went into the promised land came back with a bad report. And every one of those died in the wilderness. And I guarantee you, it's at least that percentage today. They bring the bad report. They don't give you any hope that you can take this body for Jesus and rule it and walk in the Spirit. They don't give you any hope of that. Because they've never been there, folks. They can't tell you. They can't bring you somewhere they've never been. That's the whole point. They've never been there, and they can't take you there. All they can tell you is their experience. And they're in bondage to flesh, so that's what they preach. But the Bible says that that's Antichrist. The Bible says that in 2 John. That all those who say that Jesus Christ is not coming in the flesh is Antichrist. 2 John 7. For many deceivers are gone forth into the world, even they that confess not that Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. You know what? There's a lot of them in the pulpit. Like I said, 10 out of 12 there were Antichrist. 10 out of 12 spies that went into the promised land. And these represented the people of God, the leadership of the people of God. We can take this promised land because Jesus already put to death our flesh. He said, reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, Paul said, but alive unto God, Romans chapter 6. In other words, just consider it done. That's what he's saying. Consider it done. And then he said, let not therefore sin reign in your mortal body. In other words, you know what? If you consider it done, in this way, you will not let sin rule over you. And he goes on to say, because you're not under law, but under grace. You know how you get grace to not let sin rule over you? Well, first of all, you've got to reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. That's what Romans 6 said. You've got to consider it done. Why? Because that's the gospel. That's the good news. You know, there's a lot of Christians that don't know the good news, never heard the good news. They're still trying to attain unto righteousness. And you know what happens when you try and you try and you try and you fail and you fail and you fail? You get kind of discouraged and you give up, don't you? A lot of people who are Christians who want to serve God, many of them fall away from the Lord because they try. And they try, and they try, and they fail, and they fail, and they fail. They've never been given the tools. They've never taken up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have to take up the sword of the Spirit, or we'll continue to lose. And we have to speak the Word of God. He said, let it not depart out of your mouth, and you'll have good success, right? You have to speak the Word of God. Not just think it, speak it, right? Agree with it. And God will bless us. Whatever you're praying for, Jesus said, believe you have received. He said, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believe and you shall receive. So whatever you're praying for, believe you have received, speak it out of your mouth. Speak to the church. Agree with it. It's not lying. We're talking about things that are eternal here, not things that are temporal. Remember what the Bible says of things that are not seen are eternal, but things that are seen are temporal. In other words, you're worried about lying because you're speaking against the things that are seen. That's not so. These things are just very, very temporal. They're passing away. The things we're claiming are eternal. They're more real than the things you're looking at with your physical eyes. More real. Because they will be forever. And besides, the Lord taught us in Romans chapter 4 to call the things that be not as though they were. You know what the carnal man calls that? Lying.
My mom couldn't get that revelation. Remember, she would sit in that chair over there and say, well, I don't want to lie.
I ain't going to say that. That would be a lie. Well, wait a minute. Now, who's the liar? Is your flesh the liar or is God the liar? See, God said, and we told her that. He said, no, the Bible says you're healed. Now, who's the liar here? Now, let's get this straight here. We speak the things of the Spirit. We speak the eternal things. It's not a lie to agree with God's Word. It's a lie to not agree with God's Word. The natural man is the liar. The carnal man is the liar. So anything that God's promised you, you can speak it outside. You know what? That's a good way to find out false doctrine and true doctrine, because you have trouble saying some things that God says about you. That very resistance is your flesh. It's the enemy. Just go ahead and boldly speak it. If God spoke it to you, you can speak it. In fact, people get miracles like that because they never tried to speak it or act on it. And immediately when they start acting upon it, they start seeing miracles.
This is a stupid thought probably, but what came to my mind is what we're learning right now is how you walk in the kingdom anyway, and it's what's going to be our life in the kingdom.
Exactly. Jesus gave us this example. When Jesus spoke things out of his mouth, they were not when he spoke them. But after he spoke them, they came to pass. They were not. People think, well, Jesus just, he knew what the man wanted to do. Well, don't we know that? That's what we read the Bible for, is to find out what the Lord wants to do. Some people are very dense. Some people say, well, I don't know if the Lord really wants to heal me. Well, read all of the Gospels and find somebody that the Lord didn't want to heal that was among his people. Find just one. How much does it take to convince you? Are you really a believer? This is what you need to question now, right? Are you really a believer? You need to, it doesn't take much reasoning to figure out Jesus wants to heal the sick. And he wants to provide their needs. And he wants to feed his people. I mean, he multiplied the fishes and the loaves. He met their spiritual and their physical needs. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Meaning, hey, you look at me, that's just the way the Father is. See? The Lord wants to provide for us. He desires it. But unbelief is what restrains it. He has to permit unbelief to restrain him, because he's bound himself by his word. Why? Because once he says something, he can't depart from it. And he has said, be it unto you according to your faith. He can't depart from that. As you have believed, so shall it be unto you. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. See, he can't go around his word. He would break his word. He'd be a liar if he gave you something while you were walking in unbelief. So, we have to agree with our heart, and we have to confess with our mouth. You say, but David, if it doesn't come to pass, well, that very if is the devil's if. The devil immediately speaks that to you. Yeah, but if it don't happen, you're going to look stupid. Well, this is where miracles come from, folks. Believing with your heart, confessing with your mouth. God is faithful. Somebody share a testimony with us about how the Lord showed you this. How you acted on your faith and God fulfilled. Anybody?
Yeah. Last semester, something came up and I didn't have time to study for my first test in my Western Civilization class, and came here and prayed that the Lord would, help or take the test for me and give me the knowledge and the wisdom to take it, and didn't have 1 minute to study for this test, just got bogged down doing some other things, and I went in and had a lot of students saying, did you study for the test? Are you ready for it? And I said, no, I didn't study for it, but I am ready for it because the Lord's going to give me all the answers. And sure enough, I got a high. I mean, they laughed and they carried on, told me how stupid I was, that I was going to fail. And I said, no, I'm going to pass. Got 100 on the test. And I was the only one in the class that got 100. So the Lord, had a lot of people coming against me saying that I was crazy for believing that the Lord was going to take my test for me. And just praying for it and believing it was going to give me the answers. Sure enough, it did.
This is the secret of salvation, is God doing it through us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God comes on the scene when we walk by faith and we speak faith. And he just lays back when we don't. Look, you're either going to walk by faith or are you going to walk by the flesh? And so, when we speak the Word of God, He rises up in us. He empowers us.
I guess it's in Psalms where they let the redeemed Christ on.
That's right.
We've got to put point on.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He hath redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. That's us, right? We've been redeemed out of the hand of the enemy.
I was going to say something. I don't like to talk about the kind of life that I was in before I became a Christian, because I really don't think about it anymore. I was sharing this with Terry too. But I remember a really powerful testimony when I was in the prison ministry. I only went twice. But I was told by this guy that was going to let me do some speaking, and I had to read and study this situation. I mean, this big, thick book that they gave us, you know, and find something in there I wanted to talk about and study it so that I could stand up there and sort of just repeat what I'd read. And I read and read and read. I stayed up until about 4 o'clock in the morning because we had to get up at 5:30, and I was so tired. And I couldn't remember anything. I was scared to death. I hated to get in front of anybody to say anything. And so when I got up behind the pulpit inside the chapel in the prison, and I had chill bumps all over me. Y'all don't know what it's like to stand up in front of a bunch of people if you're a scaredy cat, and I was. And I turned around to the person that was in charge, and I said, "Man, I don't remember nothing. I really studied it." He says, "Well, just give your own testimony." And so that was the testimony I gave about what God delivered me out of. And three men, two black men and another guy, they had a break later, you know, and we all went outside. And these three guys came to me while we were out there and said, "You don't know, that's what we've been struggling in." It was just so powerful because I was scared to death when I was talking, and I thought, gosh, man, it's like, God, I don't want to tell these people that kind of stuff. You know, it's so rotten and so, you know. But if you just really, at that point, the Holy Spirit took over. It wasn't me, you know, and I was, what do you call it, an empty vessel. I mean, I was drained dry, you know. But when the Lord puts something in your mouth to say, it's so powerful, because somebody out there needs to hear that, you know. And sometimes, I don't know about anybody on the internet, but I mean, I've just been sort of a scaredy cat Christian all my life, you know. Or, it's really neat how God is putting things in my heart to talk about, you know, in the salon where I work and people who come in. Because I pray, "Lord, I don't know anybody. You've got to send them in, you know. I'm not going to advertise because you tell me not to."
Yeah.
So who walks across that threshold, you know, is somebody that you send in.
Yeah.
And it's just so powerful because it's really neat, you know, how God is bringing people in there to talk to me, you know. And they may come in to bless me. Or maybe God might lay something on my heart in the struggle in their life they're going through, or a trial. So I just wanted to say that to encourage anybody out there on the internet. And just living for the Lord is just so wonderful. It's just wonderful.
You know, this sister that we prayed for that had the breast cancer and the cancer disappeared, you know, we didn't really ask God to do that. We spoke that. We agreed with the Word of God. We spoke that. See, the Lord gave us authority over all the power of the enemy. If you got authority, you exercise it. You tell the enemy what you want to do. You know, you hear about people talking about binding the devil. Not binding him. But it's talking about forbidding him. Not just binding him. I mean, what do you want? You need any bound up devils around your house? No. What you want to do is tell them what they can do and what they can't do, right? And cancer, and I'm not sure all cases, but I know a lot of times it's a demon spirit called cancer. And I generally tell cancer to go in the name of Jesus. I don't ask him. I don't even ask God, because God's given us authority and he expects us to use it. So we speak these things out of our mouth. You say it takes a little nerve to say that. Yeah, that's right. But this is what the Lord taught his disciples to do. And this is what he's commanded us to do. You know, Mark 11 and 22. Speak to the mountain. Commanded to be thrown into the sea. Don't doubt in your heart. Believe those things that you speak will come to pass. And you'll have it. That's what he said. Speak it. Command it. Let it come out of your mouth. If you've been healed, tell people. If you've been saved from something, tell people. I'm talking about before you see it, tell people. Say, but David, if it don't come to pass, I'll look like a liar. But if you believe it, you can speak it, right? Speak it out of your mouth. Whatever you've asked God for, speak it out of your mouth. You know, some of you, when you came to the Lord, you had some preacher telling you, now, okay, you've accepted the Lord, come down here and confess Him before men. Or make a public confession as far as baptism or whatever. You know, they don't understand why it works, but they know it works. But it works in all things, all areas of salvation it works. Speak against your flesh. Don't let the flesh speak. If the flesh speaks, you are loosing the curse. You are giving strength to the enemy, like the giant. Bigger, bigger, bigger. No! Smaller, smaller, smaller. And what I noticed afterwards that I chopped that my old man in the Adam's apple. In other words, to stop him from speaking. Right? No, smaller, smaller, smaller. You know, we can whittle our enemies down to size if we'll just agree with the Word of God, speak the Word of God. God will give us victory.
I was just thinking, too, that when a thought enters into your head, and I know that Terry's a witness to this, too, when we're tormented by thoughts, you know, whether it's to tempt our flesh or to put fear in our hearts from sickness or our wife or children not being brought, whatever the situation is, when we rebuke that and tell the devil, no, I'm not going to court that. That's not a legal thought, you know. I've been delivered. I've been promised or whatever it is, you know, and I find that you may think that it's such a simple thing to say, but in your heart, when you mean that, you just have to use God's words. That's all we've got.
That's right. Words. And you, out of the same mouth comes forth blessing and cursing, James said. And he also said these things ought not to be. You know, the Israelites, you know, when they got in a tight spot, matter of fact, it was right after the 10 spies came out and everybody's heart melted because of what those 10 spies who spoke against the Lord did. And the people started murmuring. The congregation started murmuring against the Lord. And said the Lord brought them out there in that wilderness just to kill them. They were going to die there. What did God say? He said, as I live, saith the Lord, surely as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. Your dead body shall fall in this wilderness. The key was, surely as you have spoken in my ears. If you confess failure after God's given you all of these promises, what are you going to get? You're going to get failure.
Where are all the promises listed?
Where are they listed? All the way through the book.
Genesis to Revelation.
There's not one place where it's all listed.
No, there's really not one place, but I would say it behooves us to do a diligent study of the book if we got any problems, because God has already solved them.
I thought about that same thing, and then I thought about what it says about all things whatsoever you ask for in prayer, believe, and you shall receive. So if you ask for it, and you believe, that's a promise you'll get.
Pretty much.
It covers everything.
Yeah.
So if you ask for it, it's a promise you'll receive. If you believe, you receive. You probably won't have the faith to believe that. That's what I mean. If you believe, can believe, hold on to your faith. And
see, look at Numbers 21, verse 4. I just read to you, by the way, that was Numbers 14 and 28, as you have spoken in my ears. But look at 21 and 4. Remember, a while back we spoke about the snake bite, the fiery serpents that were biting the Israelites and they were dying. Well, that was because they were speaking against the Lord. That's why this was happening. They journeyed from Mount Hor by way to the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Well, you get discouraged, but be careful what you say. If you get discouraged, don't let your mouth open. And verse 5, and the people spake against God and against Moses. This is what they said. Wherewith have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread and there's no water. Now that wasn't true, because the promise of God brought them bread and water, didn't it? Brought them water out of a rock, for goodness sake. God can get water out of a rock, he can stay anywhere. Right? But they spoke against God and against Moses by saying, you just brought us out here to kill us. And our soul loatheth this light bread. You know the bread they were talking about? The manna. They didn't like the manna. Now what's the manna?
Jesus
and the Word. That's what the manna was. It was that which comes down out of heaven that gives life to the world. Jesus said, my flesh is that which came down out of heaven and gives life to the world. He was the Word made flesh. You know what? They were tired of that manna. They were tired of the Word. They got discouraged. They were tired of the Word. They were tired of listening to those promises. They wanted to see something with their eyes, right? But like Jesus told Mary, he says, didn't I tell you, if you believed, you would see the glory of God? You got to believe first. That's what God demands. You know what? What does this do? By God demanding that you believe and speak first, what does this do? It keeps all of the unbelievers out of the kingdom. See, he's designed the whole thing that way. Only believers can enter the kingdom. Don't matter if you're a Christian, quote, it keeps all unbelievers out. Now you know there's a lot of unbelieving Christians. And they speak like these people spoke. And guess what? They won't enter the kingdom either.
Not just believers, but people who will act on that belief.
That's right. Speaking is one of the major ways in which we act or react to the Word, right? And it says, verse 7, and the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us. And of course, the same thing we saw about the five kings. God put the serpent on the pole, and when they got their eyes on the serpent on the pole, they were delivered. See, that's where we were delivered, folks, is when Jesus was crucified. We were delivered. God delivered them, forgave their sins because they got their eyes, their faith on what happened at the cross.
God spoke the world into existence, the whole creation, by his word.
And he's teaching us the same thing. He's teaching us how to walk as sons of God. You can't walk like a son of this world and be a son of God, can you? See, he's teaching us, it's here that we're in training to be sons of God. You want to know what a son of God's like? Look at Jesus. He gave demonstration, right? And what Kurt said in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, faith is the assurance of the thing hoped for, a conviction of things not seen, or the substance of things hoped for, while the evidence is not seen. For therein the elders had witness borne to them. By faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the Word of God. Notice that. What's been created was created by the Word of God. So that what is seen hath not been made out of things which appear. See, God didn't make the world out of anything. He spoke it. He called the things that be not as though they were. And now he's teaching us to do the same thing. We have the power of creation in our mouths. Not because we're anything, but because the Lord gave us authority. He's got power. We've got authority. We've got authority to use his power.
say 11:21?
No, I said Hebrews 11:1. 1, 2, and 3 is what I read. So, we have authority. God's power stands behind that authority. The authority is the right to use power. See, the Lord has given us the right to use power. So when we speak these things, just like our Father God did, we have creative power in our mouth. If the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible says in Proverbs that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. You can partake of life, you can partake of death. In the power of your tongue. So, that would tell you have to be very careful about what you say, right? We need to be careful that we agree with the Word of God. It's like the last five verses of the book say. You know, don't take away from the words of this book, or God will take away. And he's talking about in your actions, and in your thinking, and in your speech. Don't take away from the words of this book. But God will take away your part from the tree of life.
You know, something I've come to realize a while back was, even if we're speaking the curse on ourselves, we're still in agreement with God's word, because he said, be it unto you according to your faith. And if we're going to confess it out of our mouth, he's going to give it to us.
Yes.
I mean, we have to. If we're going to claim that we're sick or claim that we have a problem, the Lord is going to allow us to have that problem.
What are you saying when you claim those things? Is you're saying, I don't believe the gospel.
You don't agree with God.
You don't agree with God. I don't believe the gospel. It's not the person that says he's a believer. It's the person that's a believer that counts.
Yeah.
I mean, even the disciples who walked with Jesus had to overcome that. Jesus rebuked them for their unbelief. They had to overcome it. If they had to overcome it, we've got to overcome it, folks. People get offended when you tell them that they're not believing. You ever hear people say, well, I believed and I didn't receive. Well, now, wait a minute. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you believe, you will receive. See? So either Jesus is a liar, or you're a liar, right? We have to, listen, let God be true and every man a liar. That's what God says. That's Romans chapter 3. If you want to be justified when you come into judgment, let God be true and every man a liar. Or he might prevail. That's verse chapter 3 and verse 4. God forbid, let God be found true, that every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words. You want to be justified in your words? What's that mean? Accounted righteous in your words. Now this is of utmost importance. You have to be found righteous in your words in order to receive grace from God. That thou mightest be justified in thy words and mightest prevail when thou comest into judgment. Have you ever come into judgment? We all have. You want to prevail. Well then, you've got to be accounted righteous in what you say. That's what he's saying. And how do you do that? Let God be true and every man a liar. How do you do that? You agree with what the Word of God says. And disagree with your old flesh. And don't permit your old flesh to speak. Right? Don't let it speak. Because you're taking away from you're adding to and taking away from the Word of God if you do that, you see. So, if you want to prevail when you come into judgment, look around you, folks. There is judgment around us. We need God's grace. We need to prevail. And what does he say? Then let God be true and every man a liar. And we'll say what God says. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God. That means, say what God says, and don't say what the flesh says. Say what God says. In Proverbs 18 and 21, he says, death and life are in the power of the tongue.
they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. It don't necessarily have to be good fruit. It can be bad fruit. Because he said death and life are in the power of the tongue. But you're going to receive the fruit of whatever your tongue says. The tongue of the righteous, by the way, the Bible says, is a tree of life.
What's that book, Hung by the Tongue? And it's a short little book, but it was very, it was right on. If we're going to say it, it's going to come to pass. The more we say it, the more we believe it.
Yes. You need to practice this. Be diligent to put a watch before your mouth. Ask the Lord to watch your tongue and keep your tongue. Ask Him to do it. Ask Him to let the truth come out of your mouth. Find out what the truth is concerning your circumstances and speak that. Take time to do it. Do it in front of people. The Bible says if you confess Him before men, He'll confess you before the Father. If you deny Him before men, He'll deny you before the Father and before the holy angels. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. See, Proverbs, that was, by the way, Proverbs 18 and 21. Proverbs 15 and verse 4 says, the healing of the tongue is a tree of life. Literally, that's what it says in the Hebrew. Mine says, a gentle tongue is a tree of life. And then they have a Hebrew note that says, the healing of the tongue is a tree of life. But perverseness therein is a breaking of the spirit.
And it's not a part of the curse. We haven't been
the way we've come. Nothing. There's no part of the curse. And by the way, that covers it all, folks. You got a problem, it's covered by the curse. Read Deuteronomy 28. That's the curse. And Jesus bore that curse. And we already confessed that He bore that curse. When they saw the serpent on the pole, the very fact that He was the serpent meant that He had borne the curse. Curse of sin. We ought to confess that. That we don't have this problem anymore. The Lord Jesus took care of it. The Bible says a man's belly shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth. With the increase of his lips shall he be satisfied. Increase of his lips shall he be satisfied. In other words, learn to speak more and more in the Spirit. And if you'll do that, you'll receive more and more of God's benefits. We're not saved by our works. You can't be holy enough to earn all these benefits. You're justified by faith, accounted righteous by faith. And He says, we just read it, Romans 3 and verse 4, you must be accounted righteous in your words. How can you say you have faith if you speak contrary to God, right? Whatever you pray for, begin to confess that it's yours, and you will have it. And don't be double-minded and agree with the world when they come around, because the world is sent by the devil to get you to disagree with God's word. You know, you'll say it in front of Christians, and here comes a worldly person. You think, well, you can't understand that. And then you confess the world. The Bible says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father. But if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father. The word confess means to speak the same as. Homo logeo, to speak the same as. The same word, logeo. You know the word logos? Same word. Spoken word that agrees with God. That's what a confession is. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father and before the holy angels. So you know, when you begin to believe something and you confess it is yours, don't forget, the devil's going to send one of his people around there. Or even a well-meaning Christian.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Or a family member.
Because Because the devil knows he's got you if you give up on your confession. You know, the dead church calls it name it and claim it. But folks, we're just saying what the Bible says here. This ain't got nothing to do with some ideology that people have. It has to do with what the Word of God says. Son of the righteous is a tree of life. You know, the people that believe and act on the Word of God, they will see miracles and the rest won't. That's how you know false religion. They don't have any fruit from what they do. They don't have any fruit of the life of Christ. Bearing fruit of Christ is to becoming into His image and doing things the way He does things. Walking in the Spirit is what Jesus demonstrated for us.
I was just thinking, I was with my mom earlier having coffee with her this morning. Yesterday I was having to read a short story for literature class and brought up a lot of painful childhood memories. My mom was saying, well, is that something we need to pray about for more healing? And I said, what do you mean more healing? I just accepted the healing that was already been done. I mean, there's no more healing as needed.
Yeah.
I said, it's just, you know, Satan comes and shows you images and something tries to get you to not believe that you've been healed.
That's right.
So there's no praying about it. It's been done.
Look at Proverbs 18 and 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction. His lips are the snare of his soul. You know, Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him, it's what comes out of his mouth that defiles him. You know what defiles people? It's what they believe and what they speak. You know what curses them? The same thing. You know why men are under the curse? Because they disagree with God. How did Adam get under the curse? He disagreed and acted contrary to what he was commanded. No, it was told Joshua, don't let this word depart out of your mouth and you'll have good success. If you agree with the word, you will have good success. If you speak the word, you'll have good success.
Another thing too that you need to be mindful of is reading the word and acting on the word is just being like Jesus, like we're commanded to be, and that's the goal, is to be like Jesus, not so much that we're successful as a Christian, but to be Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, the same as He was back then.
Some of you have heard and probably gone through the prosperity gospel. They try to use faith to heap luxuries upon the flesh, which is not the purpose of this at all. The purpose of this is to overcome this world, not to love the things of the world, which Jesus nor none of His disciples gave us an example of. But if you've got needs, you've got needs. And the people around you have needs too. And God sent us to be ambassadors of His. Represent Him to the world. Jesus met the needs of everybody that came to Him. He met the needs. Didn't matter whether they're physical or spiritual. He met the needs. The Bible says in Proverbs 21 and 23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. You hear that? Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. You know why a lot of people are receiving stripes? Because they're murmuring in the wilderness. They're speaking against God. Proverbs 13, verse 2, verse 3. Verse 1, I guess. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer heareth not rebuke.
What verse is that?
Proverbs 13, 1 and verse 2. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the treacherous shall eat violence. He that guardeth his mouth